Hi, I'm Father Dan Fitzpatrick, and I'm a priest from the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle.
Father Dan, could be said that choosing to become a priest is a little bit countercultural, but you're young, you're a young priest, you've gone for it. I want to know why you've gone for it and how you feel now.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, why did I become a priest? And I guess it's because they see me and they see that I'm still relatively a young guy, I'm 27, and they see a guy in his 20s and think, how on earth did he become a priest? And it all started for me, I guess, when I was about 14 years old, and we have a youth ministry team in my diocese. They came into the school that I was at, and they did a mission. And it kind of drew my attention to who God was. And I often think to myself, who did I think God was before that moment? And I'm not sure at all. And I kind of thought that God might exist, but after that moment, it kind of intrigued me, because they put God forward as somebody who was loving and full of forgiveness, full of mercy, and no matter what I would do with my life, he'd always be there and he would always love me. And so that kind of got me intrigued about who God was, and so I decided to go on a journey, really, to find out who that God was. And I started going to a young person's prayer meeting in Newcastle at the time, and which was led by the youth ministry team in the diocese. And I play guitar, so I started playing guitar with them in the worship band that they had, and kind of kept going every month, not really knowing what I was getting myself into at the time. But after a few months, started developing a prayer life, really, started talking to God. There weren't formal prayers that we were taught in school. It was more of a relational thing. It was more of a relationship, yeah, that I was developing with God. And I guess around that time as well, I seen different priests around at these prayer meetings and kind of thought, you know, maybe I could do that. And that idea of being a priest actually left me very quickly after that. About a week later, I thought, no, maybe it's not for me. But my relationship with God still developed and continued to grow.
So what hooked you back in then?
I guess when I was in sixth form, you know, that the time when you're kind of making the big decisions in your life, I got to a point where I think I was in upper six and I was filling out my UCAS form, filling out the information I needed to go to university. And I thought to myself, what do I really want to do with my life? And I kind of had one strand of my life that was developing, this relationship with God, going to these prayer meetings every month. I started going back to church. But also at the same time, I was leading the life, I guess, of an average teenager at the same time, but doing things there that might be contradictory to the other life I was also leading with God. So I'd be out on a weekend, drinking heavily and doing lots of other things that are associated with that. And I kind of got to the point where I thought, I need to make a decision. I need to find out what God wants me to do with my life, because these two different roads I'm going down seem incompatible. And so I decided to pray about it, actually. I remember coming home and sitting on the end of my bed and saying to God, are you real? Are you actually there? Because if you're just a figment of my imagination, then I need to get on with my life. I need to put this nonsense behind me and get on with my life. However, if you're real, then that's such a huge thing, then I think that would mean that I had to dedicate my life to God, if God was real. And every night that week, I came home, sat on the end of my bed, and pretty much prayed that prayer. By the end of the week, I didn't have any ground-shaking experience of God where he came down and said, I am real. But I remember by the end of the week, kind of feeling a contentment within my heart and kind of coming to a personal realization that God did exist and that I believed somehow that he did exist. And so I then decided that whatever I did, that it had to be for God. At the time, I didn't think it was going to be priesthood, but a few years later, that call to priesthood came back to me and I decided to do something about it and joined seminary, college for guys trained to be priests. And even when I went into seminary, I didn't think 100%, is this what God's calling me to do? I kind of went in thinking, well, if this is the direction I'm going in, then this is the place I need to be at this time. And just still open to, I might not be called to be a priest, I might be called to do something else. But 6 years later, it seemed that God was still calling me to be a priest. And I was ordained in the cathedral in Newcastle upon Tyne last summer. You know, I often tell people since I became a priest, that contentment that I felt when I was sitting on the end of my bed praying, it's kind of come back. I kind of feel it. I guess that's a sign that maybe I'm doing what God wants me to do with my life. I'm fulfilling my vocation, hopefully.
You talked about your ordination. I suppose reality bites a bit a year in. So tell me a little bit about the joys, the ups, and maybe the more challenging things as well.
Yeah, I guess Since I was ordained in the summer, life's been really good. It's been really joyful. Kind of overall, looking back, probably been the best 6 months of my life, really. And, you know, somebody once said that to do anything other than the will of God for your life will bore you. And I think that's so true. And I think when we discover what God's calling us to do, we'll have the opposite of boredom. We'll have contentment. We'll have joy. We'll have satisfaction. That doesn't mean that every day is going to be fantastic. There are difficult days, especially the circumstances that come with priesthood, the circumstances that you find yourself in with people's lives. We tend to be there as priests at people's most vulnerable times. And those vulnerable times can be joyful, but they can also be very sad and emotional times. So you do find yourself in those situations. And I guess that's where you have to rely on God, really. You have to rely on your relationship with God to get you through that and to offer people the good news in those situations. Like, for example, as a priest, we're confronted with death on a regular basis. And you have to walk into that situation. For me, as a 27-year-old man who's just come out of seminary, essentially, to have to go into somebody's life who's lived a full life and who's dealing with those struggles of bereavement, of death, to try and offer something, you very quickly realise that what you've got to offer doesn't come from you. Because at the end of the day, I'm just a young lad who's been in the seminary for the last 6 years. What you've got to offer is Jesus Christ. And I guess that's where those challenges are met and are helped with the faith and with the sacraments as well that you bring to people.
I think that's excellent. And, you know, we go back a little way, and I've been waiting to call you Father Dan. I think that's superb to be able to do so. But I'd like to finish by just saying to you, you're talking to the next generation. You've just said you've talked to people right slap bang in their lives. They've had a lot of life, but there's a few people that are in that position you were in, wondering, searching, exploring what God means to them. What would you say to those people?
Pope John Paul II, throughout his ministry, would always quote scripture and say, do not be afraid, to young people. And I think I'd just like to say to young people as well, to echo those words, don't be afraid to try and discover who God has called you to be, because when you discover it and then when you get on that path and you become that person, then that's where you're going to find true happiness in life.